Sponsorship for this KQED live audio stream comes from Brevo, a customer relationship management platform that can help engage with clients across email, SMS, WhatsApp, and more. For more information, visit brevo.com. That's brevo.com.
The soldier portraits were really interesting. They became like a very large part of the series and took me several years to put together with the people helping me with the costuming, the research, and then the casting and shooting, retouching and all that, which I do. I do everything. I do the retouching, the printing, the spotting in the end, and oversee the light boxes, the whole nine yards. And the way I shoot too, it's interesting because I literally am painting with light. I'm using cinematic lights. I don't use any strobe lights. So I'm seeing the light as it is in the pictures, and I'm very, very specific. I do all my own lighting and placing the light exactly how I want it. And also adding a lot of smoke, which is kind of a humorous thing, but at the same time, it's very real in these original images. So, but that creates an unbelievable amount of grain, which was really the key to the light boxes and different pictures here. This, especially because I was buying up the last of film stocks as it was going, so I think that it's such an interesting time and special time in photography where you can incorporate this amazing film that, you know, over a century of artistry went into developing, and the grain is so beautiful and fine, and then the digital where you can actually blow it up to the scale and create a dirt transparency, a giant transparency. And so it's this like little period in photography that I think is really special and vanishing. I mean, just in the film stocks alone, I think four stocks vanished that I was using during the couple of years I was shooting this. So one image, I have to get a large crew together, and because I don't have a big budget to do my work, I have no budget. I have to schedule a massive amount of people on one day and kind of work a lot of different shots into one day. So usually four soldier portraits in a day. And that takes like a few weeks of planning for me, because you have to get everybody's schedules to line and cast the models and get the different people. Then I do all the lighting. I set up the smoke and arrange it so it's just perfect, and kind of planning out what's backlit and not backlit, and sketching out certain images the way I want it and kind of mapping it out. And then the costuming was really, that it's so accurate. It's like the largest amount of accurate costumes in any war series or war, any historic thing that you've seen on like the History Channel. These are better. These are like perfect costumes, which is, that was a whole feat in itself. That's what took the years of planning, was just getting this stuff together. I had a historian who worked with me, a war historian, and he actually was, I don't know his position, but he was in the war. He was in the Gulf War. So he was very familiar, knew everything. He works with all the movies. He was working with Oliver Stone on a film. So he made sure it was accurate. Like, there's not one stripe that's off or a pin or button or anything. So that was a big feat, because the costumes aren't easy to come by, and sometimes working with original costumes and getting that perfect. And I ended up getting a sponsorship from a costume house to do it, because they're unaffordable. So he helped me with that. And so the Battle of Berlin, the shots that I used with the planes and the city, I ended up working with this big movie studio. They did Aviator and the Terminator movies. They basically have done like the most amazing. Oh, they did the Batman, the new Batman film. And because I have no budget at all, I had to go track these people down, find the owner, and then like beg him to do my stuff. And he ended up loving the concept, and they worked for about 6 months on building the set of Berlin, which was really extensive, a huge set, and like for basically nothing. And they were incredible. They came on board and created this whole thing, and I cast 100 models to be in the shots. which I ended up cutting out entirely, which was like, I thought it was powerful as a silhouette of the city. But so there was a lot of planning and pretty extensive stuff that went into pulling off this whole series. And I just wanted to say the portraits kind of go between the jumping and the still shots. Where I bring these guys to life, I'm showing them in the black and white jumping pieces in like the faces of rage, but they're kind of a little humorous and frozen, like they're dancing almost, which is strange. They have a very odd, it has an odd effect with them in these uniforms. And that carries into the sea prints as well. You always see this like back and forth game between stillness and motion, which is something that I find very, very interesting in different war imagery and history that I've seen. There's always that like the post effect. And the, or you know, you have a silent city, and then there's total chaos for a few hours, and then it's back to total silence. So it's interesting, and that all that is kind of played in with both series. There is a narrative. It's taking you through the history of war and the glamorization of war into modern times, and kind of questioning the accuracy of our given history, our presented history, and. Looking at the difference between staged and reality and kind of seeing how they combine the two. Because some of these, a lot of the battle scenes are based on real battle scenes and scenes and locations. So, and these are, a lot of these are based on actual poses from Civil War photographs, but these look very posed. So it's that thing where you're like, well, what is real, what isn't? And then if you go back and you look at historic imagery now, after seeing a giant series, after seeing the 94 pieces, I guarantee you'll look at it a little differently and maybe question what you're looking at a little more. So that's kind of my play on it. And also how over the top and still it is. I like how still it is. My inspiration is or was solely from cinema. And I feel like a lot of the great photographers have moved into film, and then there's a very interesting effect when a photographer makes a movie. I've noticed that you can push pause at any point, and it's a still, it's a beautiful picture. Whereas you get these directors who, they don't understand photography, they don't understand setting up shots, and there's a lot of, it can be a great story, but there are a lot of wasted shots. It's not a piece of art. So I love the history of film and seeing those films that are beautiful and so aesthetic in their the way they're filmed. You could put it on mute and it'll tell a story. And that's with these, I'm always trying to tell a story. They can stand on their own, they can be in a series, but there's something alluring that can bring you in, and maybe you want to know a little more, or some people just walk in and they look at it and walk out. But I hope that doesn't happen a lot.